Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Way to open camp with a new fitness test that got Russell Wilson hurt. Because of that, it's been delayed and it's been drawn out. And I guess the blessing in disguise is that they've seen a lot more of Justin Fields. Justin Fields got no work at all with the number one guys in OTAs and minicamp. He got a ton here in training camp because of Wilson's injury. And even after Wilson has come back, Fields is still repped a lot with ones. And I would expect tomorrow, Tomlin said four positions for the first team offense. That doesn't mean all 11 guys on the first team offense play all four series. I would think that Fields would get at least a chance to play with them. And I've crushed Tomlin. I think there are a lot of valid Tomlin criticisms. One thing that I do like where he's adapted is, I hate to bring Pickett's name up because it's radioactive and people get mad at me for hearkening back on Pickett after watching him play and look bad again last night with Philly, which he usually looks great in the preseason, but he's got this now thing in his head where he doesn't want to throw the ball downfield. It's like he's, it's like a yip where he's afraid to do it. But anyways, he learned a lesson. Okay, so two years ago, when we were trying to figure out who should be the Steelers starting quarterback, when it was a three-man competition between Trubisky, and by the way, we'll see Trubisky tomorrow. I think he'll get booed when he comes back with Buffalo. When it was Trubisky, Pickett, and Rudolph, they only let Trubisky get the first team snaps. That ill-prepared Pickett for when he came in and played as a rookie. And also, in hindsight and in retrospect, and I never thought this was going to be the case, and I was very probably rude to Steelers fans who felt this way, so I apologize for that too. It never even gave Mason Rudolph a shot. And as it turned out last year, Mason Rudolph was the best of the Steelers' three quarterbacks. So Tomlin has given both guys a chance. It will be Wilson's first opportunity to play with the ones tomorrow, and I am not going to read a lot into it one way or the other. I mean, if he gets sacked three times and throws two interceptions, that would be one thing. But this is a player, as you heard him say in the audio that we had to bring you back from break, he's played in the NFL for 13 years. He doesn't really need a lot of preseason seasoning. He just needs to probably get a dry run, a dress rehearsal on Arthur Smith sending a play into him, getting command of a huddle with these guys in a semi-real game, trying to establish just a tiny bit of chemistry in game-like conditions, even though the speed of a preseason game is not a regular season game. There's not the stakes, all of those things. But it is a step closer to watching him in Atlanta for the first time next month, almost a month from, less than a month from now, we'll see him against Atlanta, barring an injury tomorrow, and I don't know if he'll play against Detroit in the last preseason game. I'm guessing he would. Pickett played in the last preseason game last year against the Falcons. Not that his great performance there meant anything once they played San Francisco in week one, but I would think based on that, three preseason games instead of four, that we would see Wilson against Atlanta. Okay, so that's just me laying out what I think is going to happen or could happen with him in this portion of the year, the preseason, which again doesn't mean that much. Let's get to how I feel about Russell Wilson big picture, because we have not really spent, there's been so much Ayuk stuff. The Pirates were relevant until they weren't, and then they became relevant because they were so bad, losing 10 in a row, that that was still a topic. So Wilson has been out of sight, out of mind for a while, and I don't know how much we've really gotten our feelings on him out there since the day he was signed, or the week that he signed here and came back for the vet minimum. I think that was a great move by the Steelers to bring him in. I don't go into this with any kind of visions of grandeur here, where I think he is going to turn back the clock significantly and go back to being the player he was in Seattle when he was in his prime. I don't think that will happen. However, there are cases in NFL history, Kurt Warner is one of them, where the guy found, where he found the fountain of youth in the right place late in his career. And just like Wilson, he had a place in between the Rams and the Cardinals where he was not good. And that was with the Giants when he was their starting quarterback the year Eli Manning was drafted. So he was really brought to Arizona originally as a backup to Matt Leinart, and he ended up being much better than Leinart and ended up almost beating the Steelers in the Super Bowl. The point is, there's a precedent. It's happened before. It's not completely out of the question. I do think, given what you're paying him, it was the right move. I would rather see what I've gotten Russell Wilson than pay Mason Rudolph on four games of tape and keep my fingers crossed with Pickett that he was going to turn into something that I was wrong about. I thought he would be the successor to Ben. I was dead wrong. I say it all the time because I don't want people to think that I'm like trying to rewrite history and act like I wasn't a complete idiot about that. I was. I'm sorry. I was so committed to him and so sure of him. That was my bad, right? So on Wilson, I am not setting sky-high expectations for him. I think the field situation here complicates things for Wilson incredibly, especially because he does not have a contract for 2025. And I think that means Wilson has to be damn good for Tomlin to never want to see what he has in Fields this year. If Wilson plays like Geno Smith did when Smith replaced Wilson in Seattle when he got them to the playoffs, if Wilson plays like Mayfield did last year in Tampa Bay, there's another good one of a guy that bounced around and found himself, even though he's much younger than Wilson, but he's not as good as Wilson, who's probably going to end up in Canton one day. I don't think, unless that happens, unless he's a 30-touchdown guy with very few interceptions and the Steelers are winning double-digit games, unless that very specific glass almost entirely full scenario plays out, then I think at some point this year, Russell Wilson is going to get benched for Justin Fields. And I'm not as extreme as these talking heads on ESPN who have said a bunch of times that, you know, Fields was going to beat out Wilson for the job in camp or in the preseason. I even feel like starting Fields week one is a mistake because then you might never see what you have in Wilson. I don't know how Russell Wilson would respond to being the backup, losing his job because of injury, and also losing his job after he was promised by the Steelers that he would be the starter when he signed here. So I'm fine with giving him game one, but I have an extremely short leash on him. If I were in charge, and I would think that the Steelers do too. Now, Kabali, who was in here for the last hour, said right before camp started that he thinks Russell Wilson will play all 17 games unless he gets hurt. I vehemently disagree with that. I just think that Tomlin has always been tantalized by the athleticism of Fields going back to Ohio State, wanting him in that draft, but not being able to draft them because Fields went earlier than their pick and they still had Ben. I think that Tomlin will want to give Fields games before he becomes a free agent at the end of the year. And this team, their schedule is so damn hard this year that I think at some point they'll be looking for a spark offensively. And so I'm not even saying that Wilson is going to be complete ass as the quarterback. I think he's going to be slightly better than average, but I just don't think that that is good enough in the grueling gauntlet that is the AFC for Wilson to keep his job the entire year. Like, I think he's going to give you B-minus to B level quarterback this season, which is a huge upgrade over last year. But I don't expect them to get the kind of rabbit's foot, four-leaf clover luck as a team that they got last year, where they won like all of their one-score games, and also all of the other really good quarterbacks in the AFC, not all of them, but a lot of them, got injured, dropped like flies. Anthony Richardson in Indy, Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, Aaron Rodgers in New York. I mean, that contributed mightily to the Steelers making the playoffs. So here's your chance to get your thoughts heard on what you expect from Russell Wilson this year. This is from intern Dom. He just grabbed this. This is Mike Garofolo on Brandon Ayuk. This is breaking. This is brand new. He was on a podcast in Seattle on the big talker up there. I guess they have a deal with Garofolo. And so this is the guy that broke the story that Ayuk demanded a trade. He's been all over this. Here he is with the latest on the Ayuk situation.
Anybody can make a decision at any point, right? Except the Steelers, who are in pretty much wait and see mode. But the 49ers can decide to trade him to Pittsburgh, and that'll pretty much be done. He'll be a Pittsburgh Steeler. Ayuk can accept the offer that's on the table right now, which is not to his liking, but close. Or the 49ers can say, all right, Brandon, we'll make the final couple adjustments that you want us to make, and that deal will be done. So those are we're waiting on. Two of the options are the 49ers making a move. One of the options is Brandon Ayuk making a move. So whose court is the ball in? Both. Except for the Steelers. So those are the three parties to play.
But I think you mentioned it there, but his preference, Ayuk's preference all along has been to stay there.
Yes, to stay in San Francisco.
I don't entirely agree with that. So the contract is still on August 16th at 5:10 Eastern time. The contract the 49ers have presented to Ayuk is still, quote, not to his liking. That's different from when Garofolo said they had one more thing to iron out. Iron out means like it's fait accompli, right? Right, intern Dom, you're learning to be a Big J journalist. Would that be your read on it too?
Yeah, that would be my guess.
Still not to his liking. I know a lot of Steelers fans just want to be done with this and wash their hands of the Ayuk thing. They're completely sick of it. But if that's how you feel, say, the guy's not worth it. Just pull your offer. Say, you know what? We're not even interested in him anymore. You've dragged us through the mud. You've led us to believe something is going to happen. You're messing with us. We don't even want to play your games anymore. If that's what Omar Khan did, well, then what's your alternative? You just go into the season with Van Jefferson as your number two wide receiver? You're content, or you think you can get by with guys that might get cut in the next 2 weeks? I don't like those options. 412-928-9370. So you got a lot here to chime in on with Open Phone Friday. Anything you want, 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. That is what makes that segment yours. It's your call. You can't blame us and say, why are you talking about this? No, you are picking what we talk about for the next 10 minutes. Text us on the Edgar Slatter Associates fan text line at 512. Time to start your weekend off right with Archie's Famous Wings. We love Archie's, and they do that watch party tomorrow night with Kabali for the Steelers and Bills. Back in 2 minutes with your calls, and then Zangrilli at 5:30. Right now, headline.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC. Get your heart screened today. Probably a good move if you're going to settle in for some Bucco baseball tonight. Paul Skeens out of the mound looking to end a 10-game losing streak. Open phone Friday, 412-928-9370. Before we get to that, great stat dug up by intern Dom before the show. Proof that Steelers preseason results are very misleading. Steelers preseason record in years, Mike Tomlin won playoff games. 8-9. Preseason record in years, Mike Tomlin didn't win a playoff game. 33-17. Now that goes to show you there's been a lot more years under Tomlin they haven't won a playoff game. That's 50 games they played in seasons where they didn't win a playoff game, only 17 in years they did. More proof that he's an overrated coach, but as far as what we take from these games and how they do, the years they've actually had postseason success, they were not good in the preseason. 2022 and 2023, they were a combined 6-0. So maybe a good thing that they lost to Houston, and you should be rooting for them to lose to Buffalo tomorrow night as well. 412-928-9370. Here is Vincent in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Vin.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, Vincent.
Yeah, this Aiyuk thing, it feels like we're all a bunch of kids just waiting for our parents to give us pizza, like for dinner. Like, it's either going to happen or not, but I still, like, the longer this goes, the more the Deontay trade is just kind of, like, lingering in terms of something we shouldn't have done. And I don't even have a problem with the trade itself, but more so not having a backup plan. And then it's also making me think that they're a lot more confident in the fact that they think the quarterback play is going to be that much better to elevate guys. Kind of like, I don't want to compare it to Brady elevating guys in New England, but like there's a part of me that thinks they kind of have that like arrogance that it's going to be like that.
Well, I don't think they feel that way, because if they did, why would they pursue Aiyuk for as long as they have, Vin? Like, if they thought that the quarterbacks were just going to make Van Jefferson and Scotty Miller better, the hell with trying to run down Aiyuk and negotiate a deal with him and get a trade in place for him. You just say, screw it. We're in good hands. We trust Russell Wilson to get us where we need to go. Speaking of Columbus, here's a guy that matriculated through Columbus, Ohio. part of our lunatic fringe fan base. Johnny the Barber is back with us. Johnny, did you ever cut Vinny's hair when you were in Columbus?
No. I can't say I recognize Vinny. But
do you have a problem with Italians? Is that what you're saying tacitly?
No, I have no problems with Italians. It's actually Amish people I have problems with. But
you don't like their hairstyle?
I just don't like the Amish, period. I'm just not a real big fan of the Amish. But
is that why you called in?
No, I want to talk about quarterbacks. You guys, you're messing up again. You got to go with Justin Fields, okay? He's your future.
Where did he go to school?
Guy. The Ohio State. But that has nothing to do with it.
Of course not.
If you look at their turnover rates between the two, they're negligible. You got one guy that can really, really, still motor it and has it. He's a young guy. He's younger than Kenny Pickett.
What defense do you have for Fields fumbling twice in the last game?
Oh, it's you're what with a new center. What are you going to do?
It's gonna get the happen. Ball and not drop it?
That's why it's preseason.
Are you insinuating that he did it on purpose to get practice at it?
No. I'm saying, just like you jumped all over Kenny Pickett last preseason, thinking he was the second coming of Joe Montana, you might be going too far on your judgment in the opposite pendulum swing of being too difficult on Justin Fields.
Any update on Ayuk?
Ayuk is still looking to be reunited with the family, and Dino still thinks we got something going.
Anything else?
Ohio.
There you go. Jeff in South Park, our number two fan, is next. Hello, Jeff.
Funny, the way that Johnny the Barber feels about Amish people is the way I feel about Ohio State fans, but that's another story.
What did Amish people? I know that the one thing about Amish that I'm not a big fan of is this whole puppy mill deal with dogs. I've heard a lot about that. I'm not a huge proponent of it. Other than that, I've had great experience with Amish. They've built things nice. The craftsmanship is through the roof. Butter, they do a great job with that. How about pies? Amish pies.
I used to work at a plastic plant, which I swear to you, probably 50% of the employees that worked there were Amish. We were right in the middle of Amish country.
Did you ever think of converting to their way of life?
No, I have not.
No? Okay.
I have no idea. You know, it's one thing I never got around to asking them. I have no idea if the Amish are big sports fans. That's a conversation, right?
Jeff, how could they be? I don't think they're allowed to have cable. Or TVs, for that matter.
That's a problem, but are they allowed to view it in person? Make it hard to be
yes.
a fan of a pro.
Wait a minute.
Team,
I think the answer is yes, you can go to games.
All right. Well, maybe they're big high school football fans. I don't know. But
Is that why you called in to talk about?
No. It's just Johnny the Barber annoys me with his Ohio State fandom because it's the worst fan base in all of sports. But I was originally calling in to give us a bit of a reprieve from all the Ayuk talk. I wanted to talk to you about vintage sports video games.
Okay.
I just got done playing NBA Jam Tournament Edition. Do you remember NBA Jam Tournament Edition?
Of course I do. Yes.
Were you a huge fan of that game?
Absolutely. My dad once bribed a kid at Video to Roll, video rental store. He gave a kid $20 to go rent another game because he wanted to get me NBA Jam. So Tournament Edition was a twist on it where instead of the two players that you had to play with, they gave you an option for a third so you could like change your lineup up.
And then if you beat all of the 27 at the time NBA teams, you could unlock extra rosters.
Yes.
So some of the teams
you could beat like
would go up to as many as five players.
Yes, you could also beat like the Phoenix Suns gorilla mascot, things of that nature.
I just rediscovered the hidden characters.
I think Bill Clinton and Al Gore were a team on there.
You could be Hillary Clinton. That I didn't even remember. You could be the Beastie Boys. I just got done playing a game with Larry Bird because that was like the one NBA legend on there. You could get Will Smith. Like, that's crazy. I definitely remember.
Jeff, you have a young kid. How are you now finding time to play old NBA Jam games?
Well, you know what's great about NBA Jam is is you can play a whole game in like literally 11 minutes.
Agreed. I think that's one of my reasons why I thought video games were so much better back then. Were you an NHL 94 fan like I was?
Oh my God, that was the first NHL game that I had, and you could do the wraparound goals like it was nothing.
Yep, that helped me get through my parents' divorce.
I had that. Right.
It did. But, Sega Genesis version.
Yes, I had the Sega Genesis version, yeah. Yeah, it's funny how many systems we cycled through as a, when I was young, now that I'm thinking about it. But
Jeff, who will be who will be the star of tomorrow's Steelers-Bills game?
Well, I'm hoping we see good things from Russell Wilson. I'm hoping maybe he plays two series and both of them are big successes, and then they can get him the heck out of there. That's what I'm hoping for.
Is Brandon Ayuk a Steeler by Monday?
If you would have asked me a week ago, I would have said yes, but I mean, this just keeps going and going and going. I should ask you that, Mr. Inside Sources.
Thank you, Jeff. Is the Energizer Bunny still a thing?
Yeah.
Do they still promote the fact that he keeps going and going and going, or did they...
Yeah, I see that guy every now and then, banging the cymbals, marching around on the stage.
Dan Zangrilli joins us next for a Bucko Minute. He will have pregame coverage of Pirates and Mariners on this station at 5:45, but first, an Intern Dom headline.
I think we have to message that we just have to stay together. I mean, you know, we're in a tough stretch, and we went through a stretch where we played, you know, four of the teams that are playing the best baseball in baseball. I don't know if you can say it like that. Four of the best baseball in baseball, and we've lost, what, 7 or 8 one-run games? We have to stay together during that stretch. It's not like we're going out every night and, you know, getting waxed. We're playing decent baseball. We're not finishing games. So we have to figure out whether it's a pitch, whether it's a play, whether it's something to be able to finish those games.
And all right, I'm going to read the Your Heart Care Matters, Trust the Experts at UPMC and Get Your Heart Screened to start this conversation off with Dan Zangrilli. It was brought to you by the super lawyers of LGKG, LGKG, your home team. Injured in an accident, visit LGKG.com. Because I'm just so sick of the effing excuses from this guy. It boils my blood. You're playing good baseball. You haven't gotten waxed. You lost a game 6-0 here when their best pitcher went out after an inning because of a water drainage issue. And you dropped 3 balls in 1 inning. In the first 2 games of the series against San Diego, this one, you scored a combined 1 run. And then you got your ass handed to you by a pitcher that you said you're not good enough to be here anymore. Dan, what is he talking about? And then when you start to say, we need to stick together, you know what that tells me? You're worried that the team might not stick together. If you have to say it, that means you're trying to emphasize it. Oh, my God. Sorry. I am happy to see you, though. How was your time off?
I think I missed a bit, didn't I? Or not anything at all.
Jeff got hazard pay while you were out.
Oh, boy. Thank you, Jeff. What he said doesn't, it's not good. But it doesn't infuriate me as much as what I heard maybe earlier in the week in the midst of this streak was that we just have to get lucky. The ball just has to bounce our way. You know, with all these one-run games, and you can't win them all, but you're allowed to manifest things. You're allowed to manufacture runs. You're allowed to create your opportunities. If luck is your plan, which is essentially what he said, we just need the ball to bounce our way. We just need to get lucky. Well, then I don't need to work. I just need to keep playing the Powerball. After all, the winning ticket was just sold up the road.
It was?
It was.
How much?
Like 215 or 213.
Here?
I think up near somewhere, Indiana Township, if I'm not mistaken.
Damn.
Instead of using a penny, I need to use a quarter on my scratch-off lottery tickets. I just need to get good with Gus. That's luck. If luck is your plan, do you have one? That infuriated me more than this, because what he said, there is some fact and truth to it, but you also colored in the other side.
I would just pull up and say, you feel like you've gotten bad breaks. How about we go and do pitching stats first and then hitting stats on what your guys have done in August? And you tell me if your record doesn't reflect how your team has played. Let's do Keller's ERA in August. Let's do Ortiz's ERA. Let's do Holderman's. Let's do Bednar's. Let's even do Skeens. Let's do all those guys. Does that look unlucky? Then let's do OPS for other than McCutcheon, Cruz, and Reynolds, three guys. Let's do everyone else on your roster for the month of August. And you tell me if your record is unfair or doesn't reflect how your team has played.
I'm going to go back to January 20th, 2024.
Wait, give me the date again.
January 20th, 2024.
Okay, so now we're going way back into the offseason.
Yeah, so we want to, and everything that you said, and I don't mean to dismiss this and just change the conversation, but it kind of ties into what you're saying, Andrew. Bob Nutting to Jason Mackey. Everybody is asking the questions about, and even Joe Starkey asked the question as to what were the expectations? What would connotate success in 2024?
Mm-hmm.
The instructions, the objectives were clearly laid out to the public, and Nutting did to Jason Mackey in this Post-Gazette article. So if it's out there in the ether,
what'd he say?
You certainly know it was described and articulated behind closed doors. And I quote, "My expectation is we take another meaningful step forward in 2024. With the current playoff system, another step forward means we can be in contention throughout the season. That's a minimum expectation we should have and one we should be building on." He has clarified this. There is no room for interpretation. He described what the expectation is when he said meaningful step forward. He went as far as saying and articulating what that meaningful step is. That has been quantified. It's been laid out in the public. And I'm certain that that's been laid out behind closed doors.
They have a full quarter of the season left, and it looks like they're playing out the string. So they're not anywhere close to that mission statement from the owner before the season started. Dan, we've seen Bob pay people not to work before. That is a misnomer about him. He wrote a big check to get Clint Hurdle and Neil Huntington out and reboot the organization. My question is, why not just give Donnie Kelly the last 40 games of the season? People have raved about him learning from Jim Leland. He's such a great baseball guy. He is a, quote, manager in waiting. Why not give him an audition?
I think that something like that would occur if there was real, utter, complete dysfunction within the clubhouse. And I haven't heard anything to that end. Now, what Shelton did say is true. There's a lot of one-run losses. So you're going to be nuanced here. You're going to pop the hood and say, well, what was in those one-run losses? How many games did this guy help us win that maybe we're not talking about in those one-run victories? They're going to probably do a deep dive into this, much like they did, because this reminds me a lot of 2012. I just remember the drum being hammered for the last 2 months of the year. The fans and a lot of media folks, they wanted Hurdle and Huntington's head both in the fifth year of the Huntington regime. Mm-hmm. They gave a sixth year. It was 2013. I see so many parallels. So as to why they don't fire him, I think that they're going to do a real deep dive, depending on how the season ends too. But assuming that it's anything like 2012 or it's a 76-win season like it was a year ago, they're going to take a long, hard look at this, and there are going to have to be changes made in how they go about it. I could see a hitting coach or a hitting philosophy changing before I think I see a managerial change or even a general manager change. I think the GM's fine, the manager maybe, hitting coach not so much, but I think there's going to be clear directives directed at the regime as there was in the offseason of 2012.
There was still, though, a 7-game win improvement from the season before when that happened. They went from a 90-loss team to a team that I think won 79 games. This team is not going to improve like that. In fact, they might, and unless they play much better baseball over the next 40 games, right now they're on track to be the same exact team that they were last year.
Right, and that's why.
So in that way, they're not similar to 2012, because that was a baby step forward. This is stuck in park right now, Dan, if it ends this way.
And it may not.
Just
looking at the schedule, right, to be kind, I mean, they ran through the gamut here, but coming up next, there's Washington, there's Miami, there's some St. Louis, Cincinnati, so they might be able to grab some victories there and teeter this thing back to a more respectable place. Not saying that that will happen. I'm not seeing things at the current moment that's like, oh, sure. Yes, I'm confident that's going to happen. But, you know, 162 is the ultimate test. If they win 81, Not saying they will, but what
if
they do?
For as much as I love Skeens, if they are this far out of the playoff race, the idea of him pitching in September, if something were to happen to him, I wouldn't be able to sleep in the offseason, Dan.
That's funny that you mention that, because that's something I'm going to talk about here in a moment, because I think the messaging has been pretty clear when, at least in the last...
It has been so far.
Right, that they're not interested in shutdowns.
Yeah.
Well, there were some very direct questions that were asked, from what I understand, as a national voice, sabermetric voice, to this end, and the messaging and the rhetoric from Derek Shelton was not as clear. Not only was the door cracked open for, I think, a potential shutdown, but I think maybe even, again, much softer language receptive to something like that. So we'll play it, questions, answers, and let everybody interpret.
What if we figure out that the team's problem was just you taking that vacation? You come back, and it's the Halcyon salad days again. And the Mike in Newcastles and the Chuck in Uniontowns will rejoice with you back at the helm.
What did Hurdle used to say? The game doesn't know the game's important. I don't know how that applies here, but I just wanted to say it.
Who was the like random guy that he'd say that? You know, that guy was a pebble in my shoe.
Oh, rock in the shoe. Oh, there's so many of them. So many of them.
I still follow him on Twitter, and I get his daily maxims. And
I made sure to unsubscribe promptly.
But he took me off that list, so I had to seek him out on social media.
Yeah.
Anyways. Dan, have a good show.
All the best.
We'll be back Monday at 2, breaking down Steelers and Bills. We'll be reunited. Donnie and Mulsey, PM team, signing off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.